breaking through self preservation. Okay, breaking through self preservation, that was the title of last week's talk. And we were talking about how Jesus went straight into situations and wasn't afraid about people's reactions. You know, nothing stopped him, really. And we used a few examples, and we looked at how Jesus calmed the storm when he crossed the Sea of Galilee. Do you remember that? And the disciples were getting scared because the boat was about to sink. And Jesus was there sleeping, and so they woke him up. And then he said, "Where is your faith? You know, why are you afraid? Where's your faith?" He woke him up, and they woke him up, and he stilled the storm. You know? And they were marvelled at the fact that even the sea and the waves obey him. And Jesus was on a mission to get to the other side, where he found the two demon possessed men, to which he delivered them. You know, this guy had been there for years and for ages, walking through the tombs and self-harming, and he delivered the man from all those demons, and they got into the pigs and they fell down the cliff. And then the locals came and saw what happened, and they said, "Oh, please go away." You know, Jesus, you know, you can do miracles, you can do wonderful things, and the reaction won't always be positive, you know, although people won't want you there. However, the man who had the demons delivered from him obviously said it was in his right mind, and he wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, "No, you stay. You go and tell other people what Jesus has done for you," you know. And that was a witness, you know, that was a fantastic thing, what Jesus has done for us, you know. And then we went on to talk about the paralyzed man, and on the Sabbath, he healed him on the Sabbath, and Jesus raised a dead girl and healed a sick woman, and the reaction of people, you know, when he went into the room where the sick girl was, they laughed at him when he said that she was just asleep. But sure enough, it turns out he woke her up from that sleep, you know, raised her from the dead, basically. Yeah. So that was the gist, but it was how you know, Jesus wasn't afraid. And we shouldn't be afraid if the Lord is within us, if we have faith, you know, just to go in and not sort of be concerned about self-preservation. And this week, so as I said last week, we're going to look at Ephesians. Yeah, great book. Now, Ephesus, let me tell you a little bit about Ephesus first, and then we'll look at something from Acts 19, because a lot of what happened in Ephesus, as I said that right, in the Ephesian church, yeah, it was recorded in Acts 19, you know, what the apostles, what Paul was doing, basically. And let me just tell you a bit about Ephesus, that's right. First of all, Paul went to Ephesus on his third missionary journey, around about AD 52. 53 until AD 56, 57. I think he went there once with Priscilla and Aquila, people he picked up there. And I think he went there for a short while, moved on. And then he came back again and stayed there for 2 years and 3 months. That's quite a long time to settle in a place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was a missionary journey, but he was there 2 years and 3 months. What kind of place was Ephesus? Ephesus. Well, let's have a look. It had a population of 250,000. Pretty big. That's bigger than Shrewsbury, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was the third biggest, or the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Just to give you an idea there. Its culture, because it was a port, I think, it was ethnically diverse. It was a port basically in Turkey, what they called Asia Minor then. It was wealthy because of its trade. It had good land routes from land to sea and so on. And but also, there was a lot of perversity that went on there. and in fact, magic, sorcery, if you like, yeah? Interest in the supernatural, basically, and occultism. All right.
Mm.
Yeah. And there was this god they treated as a god. It was, she was called Artemis, or the other word was Diana. And she was, Artemis was the Greek word, and she was the goddess of fertility. Yeah. So if you're having problems conceiving, you'd go to this god of fertility, you see. And people would go to the temple, her temple, and that's where a lot of these perverse actions went on. Yeah. Okay. So Paul was there for about 2 years and 3 months. He preached there daily, actually. At first, he was making tents in the morning. He was a tent maker. That was his part-time job to finance, you know, things. And then in the afternoon, he hired... Well, I think he was preaching in the synagogue first. And then... but a lot of people disagreed with him. And so he said, okay, I'll take the believers elsewhere. And so he hired a hall, a local lecture hall, and preached about who Jesus was. Okay? Yeah. So it was a centre of witchcraft and paganism. And I'm just going to... actually, another thing. What else did I note down about Ephesus here before I go on? So it was a very advanced city, famous for its temple of Artemis or Diana, which was now known as one of the 7 wonders of the world, actually. It had a public toilet system. It was well advanced. And so they built these toilets over a channel of moving water, which moved the waste out of the city. Clever, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But the culture encouraged indulgence in sexual promiscuity. A bit like these days, isn't it? And there was at least one large brothel that ran a successful business there. Nothing new, really. Okay. So, Acts 19. I just want to sort of go through the background of Paul here. And it talks about Paul travelling through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers and he chatted to those for a bit. And then he went to the synagogue, verse 8 in Acts 19. He went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Yeah, he was a good... discussing things, arguing persuasively. So sometimes we can try and persuade people and discuss with people about the gospel. And then it says that some became stubborn, rejecting this message and publicly speaking against the way, publicly speaking against against Jesus, basically, against what Paul was preaching about. So Paul didn't stay there. He left the synagogue, probably wasn't doing any good, and took the believers with him. And then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Sounds like a dinosaur, doesn't it? This went on for the next 2 years, so that the people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Thank you. Yeah, so, and it says, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. That's pretty amazing. When handkerchiefs or aprons that have merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases.
Wow.
And evil spirits were expelled.
Gosh.
Just handkerchiefs.
Yeah. What verse are you in?
Verse 12.
Thank you.
Of chapter 9. And then there's a little episode where it talks about travelling Jews, and then going down to verse 17, there's the story about these Jews, and then a solemn fear descended on the city. That's a kind of an awe, really, that we've been talking about. A solemn fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honoured. I suppose it could have been as a result of the miracles, it could have been a result of Paul preaching. 2 years. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices, and that's what happens, you know, when you come to know Jesus. There's a confession that goes on. It wasn't a hard thing to do, you know, because they were under conviction of the Holy Spirit. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery or witchcraft brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. Can you imagine that? The value of the books was several million dollars, basically a lot of money. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Wouldn't that be good for the message of the Lord in this country to spread widely and have a powerful effect? I think this area of Asia Minor, it was about 1.7 times the size of the UK, so you never know. And after that he felt he had to go to Rome. And then there was this riot in Ephesus. So there was a riot there. Why? Because it began with Demetrius. And this bloke was a silversmith who had a large business manufacturing silver shrines of the Greek goddess Artemis, or Diana. And you can read about that. It talks about that in verse 23, Acts 19. This kept many craftsmen busy. He called them together along with others employed in similar trades and addressed them as follows. And basically he was saying that we're losing our wealth. Why? Because people aren't interested in Artemis anymore. And this guy Paul is saying that the gods that we make are no gods at all, including Diana. You know, yeah. And that they will lose their influence. And we'll lose our money. Our business is going down the pan because of what this guy Paul is preaching. You know, and that can happen.
Yeah.
That can happen. You know, can you imagine a revival going on in this country and the porn industry going down the pan?
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
Yeah? Similar thing.
Yeah.
People don't like it, you know, if they don't know the Lord and their business, you know. People want to hold on to their money and they want to they see their business as threatened, and the gospel can have far-reaching consequences. And their anger boiled, and they started shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" And then the whole city was filled with confusion. And basically, to cut a long story short, if I can, they went inside the amphitheatre there, because it was a big amphitheatre, and the people all shouting. Some of them didn't know why they were there, but get a mob together, and that's often what happens.
Yeah.
And then... verse 35, the mayor was able to quieten them down a bit, and he said, "Citizens of Ephesus, everyone knows that Ephesus is the official guardian of the temple of great Artemis, whose image fell down to us from heaven. Since this is an undeniable fact, you should stay calm and don't do anything rash. You brought these blokes here, but they have stolen nothing from the temple and have not spoken against our goddess." And then he just says, you know, if we carry on like this, we're going to be in danger of rioting. So then the people dispersed, basically, and it came to nothing. But you can see that the reaction that Paul's preaching calls, the preaching of the gospel, it gets reaction. Some people like it, you know, some people respond well, and they start confessing their sins, throwing all their sorcery books and whatever else into the fire. Others have their businesses, they feel threatened by it, and they speak against it. You know, religion spoke against it. They spoke against Paul in the synagogue, and the businessmen spoke against it. But it's getting rid of idol worship as well, you know, which was this Diana of the Ephesians. So going on, at last, going along to Ephesians, all right, so I'm just going to go and look at the first 14 verses of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Yeah, and just explain and describe those. So this is where Ephesus was. Ephesus. I don't often say Ephesus. That is right. Ephesus. Yes, sorry. Why do I get it wrong? Ephesus. Ephesus. Listen, it's Ephesus. Because I'm trying to say Ephesians, that's what it is. And that's where Ephesus was, in the province of Asia. So you see one of interesting sight, situation, yeah, portrayed and so on. Okay. So, we'll go on to straight to the first. He chose them all and it changed them. Okay. This is basically the theme. God chose the Ephesians, these people, and it changed them. Ephesians 1:1-14. We'll start with that. So, first two verses. And I'm reading from the NLT.
Would you like me to read it?
The New Living Translation. Okay, yeah,
so
you can read it. Yeah.
You want it from that version?
No, no, it's all right, I'll do it. It's all right.
Okay.
It's easier if I do it.
Or I could read it on the screen.
No, it's okay. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now what Paul is doing there is he's saying he's chosen by the will of God. We've all been chosen by the will of God to be, he was chosen to be an apostle, but we've all been chosen by the will of God. He's writing to God's holy people in Ephesus. Holy. We are holy people in Shrewsbury.
Amen.
Okay. We are saints. Actually, I think he says in some versions it's saints, not sinners. We sin, perhaps, yes, we do, but we are saints.
Yeah.
We are labelled as saints. If you label yourself as a saint, you're more likely to live up to that label.
Yes, good.
If you label yourself as a sinner, you'll probably live up to that label. Okay? So he addressed them as saints, whatever their behaviour was like. They were faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace. That's what his prayer was. Give you grace and peace. That's what he was praying for them. Nothing else. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Spiritual blessing. Okay. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All praise to God. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. That's good, isn't it? All praise to God. All glory goes to God for that. Why? Because he has blessed us, that's you and me as well, not just the Ephesians, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Not just a few or some, but every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ. Why have we got every spiritual blessing? Why have we been blessed with that? Because we are, you and I are united with Christ. Yeah? We are at one with Christ. Just believe that.
Yes.
These things that come to us by faith, these are ours by faith. I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit will speak to you in faith.
Yes.
That he will speak to you and it will encourage your faith. So that you can believe that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because you are united with Christ. So you basically have got those spiritual blessings that Jesus Christ has got because you are united with him. Yeah? Verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now that is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Even before he made the world, before creation, God loved us. Did he know who I was before creation? Yes, he did.
Amazing.
He knew who you were before creation.
Yeah. Amazing.
He knew who Paul was. God loved us and he loved you before creation and chose, you could put, I could say you, chose us, chose you in Christ to be holy. He chose you to be a saint. He chose you to be holy And without fault. Without fault, you've got to be kidding. No, he chose you to be without fault. In his eyes.
Yeah.
Can you believe that this morning you are without fault in his eyes? And the only reason you are without fault in his eyes is because of what Jesus Christ has done.
Yes.
And made you a saint. That's the only reason you are at fault.
That's really good.
We go around saying, oh, I'm not worthy. Well, your old man isn't worthy, your old sinful self, the old Adam self. But you are a new person in Christ.
Yeah.
Verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. Adoption. By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. At the time, there were the Jews, of course. God's chosen people, they were his children, but he adopted us. He decided in advance. He made a decision before we were ever adopted, before the creation of the world, to adopt us into his own family. I'm an adopted child. By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus. This is what he wanted to do. Do you ever get the feeling, oh, why did God choose me? I'm no good. I can't measure up to what God wants. But he wanted to. He wanted to adopt you. It's his desire to do that. And it gave him great pleasure. Wow. So, God adopting me gave him great pleasure.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Nice. You're not a cast off, you see. You're not just, oh, I'll take him in my family. There's no reluctance with God. There's no reluctance. It's a very positive. God is full of positivity.
Yeah.
Totally positive out of his love.
Yeah.
Why do we get so negative? I don't know. Verse 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Okay, now here's an example of his generosity. Why do we praise God? Why do we praise God? What is a reason for praising God? Well, for the glorious grace, that is the unmerited favour. Okay, first it was mercy, God not giving us what did we deserve, punishment and so on. And then it's grace, which he has poured out, which he gives us what we don't deserve. He has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. So if we belong to Jesus Christ, we are his possession. It's good to be a possession of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
And not to be a possession of something or somebody else.
Yeah.
We belong. And that grace has been poured out. Think of pouring something out of a bottle or something or a jug. When you pour something out, we say it's pouring with rain. What do we mean? Well, it's not coming out in a trickle. It's coming out in abundance.
Yeah.
And his grace, his unmerited favour, has been, notice he uses the perfect tense there, the past tense, it has been poured out on you. That's what has been done for me and for you. It's been done. It's been poured out on you and me. Some versions say he's lavished it upon us. That's a big word, isn't it? Extravagant word, really. So he doesn't do things by halves. Jesus talked about abundance, abundant joy, abundant love. Why are we sometimes so, I don't know, mean and negative with our love? It gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace. God is kind. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sin. He is so rich in kindness and grace. Some people see God as, I don't know, a miser or something, or miserly, and, you know, the old man with the beard, reluctant to give, sort of austere. And there is a side to him which is, well, righteous. And he, you know, there is an anger which is upon sin, but he is rich in kindness and grace.
Yeah.
But he had to purchase our freedom, as it says there. The way he did it, the method that he used, he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. Blood. Blood is figured so prominently in the Bible. Yeah. Remember the Passover, when the Israelites, they put the blood on the door posts so that the angel of death would pass over it. And Jesus really is our Passover. The cross, the wooden cross where blood was shed. That's where our freedom was bought. Some people call it redemption. We've been bought back. He purchased our freedom with the blood. It was very expensive. What did it cost? It cost the blood of his son. Basically part of himself. God. And he forgave our sin. That shows his richness and kindness. He has showered. There we are. I think in some versions this is where it says he has lavished. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So what has he given us in extravagance? What has he lavished upon us? Kindness, wisdom, and understanding. Lord, help us to see that. Help us to believe that.
Yeah.
Give us revelation of that, Lord, if we need it.
Yeah.
Wisdom, all wisdom, and understanding. Do you ever feel like you'd like some understanding? Spiritual understanding is revelation. And you and I have that revelation within us through Christ.
Yeah.
Verse 9. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ. A plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. So he didn't say, oh, you know, this has happened or that's happened, and put something together at the last minute. He had a plan. He had a method regarding Christ, and this was to fulfill his own good pleasure. You are his own good pleasure. Your redemption, your buying back, buying you back is his good pleasure. And the plan of Jesus, he explains here, and this is the plan, verse 10. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. That's his plan. Everything, everything he will bring together under the authority of Christ. Where is that verse that says, every knee will bow, every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee. They'll have to. Under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. What a scene that must be. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. An inheritance, that's right. Or we have become God's inheritance. We have received an inheritance, but what's an inheritance? It's something that you come into. So we don't get all the inheritance now. It's something that we get eternally. Because we are united with Christ. We inherit what Christ has. The riches and the blessings. That's great. For he chose us in advance. There it is again. He chose us in advance. And he makes everything work out according to his plan. That's reassuring. God's in charge. And he works out everything according to his plan. There's a lot of information here which is all condensed, isn't it, in a short space. But Paul is reminding the Ephesians of what they have in Christ. Verse 12. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. The first fruits. And now, you Gentiles, that's you and me, folks, have also heard the truth. We've heard the truth, haven't we? We've heard it. The good news, this is the truth. Good news. That's nice. Let me say that again. Good news.
Mm.
The gospel. Good
yeah,
news.
Good news.
The gospel means good news.
Yeah.
How much good news do we get these days? The good news, and people need to hear the good news, the gospel, for themselves. The good news, what is the good news? That God saves you. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Save me. Think of yourself as being saved or having been saved. You know, we sometimes say these things so glibly. What have you and I been saved from? Yeah. We've been saved from the anger and from the damnation of God, basically. That's through because of Jesus Christ, because of his plan, God's plan. I dread to think about that. Been saved from, actually, but we are thankful that we've come out, we've been saved from that. Salvation is happening to us now, as well as we have been saved, but we are still being saved. That's what salvation is, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So, and now you Gentiles have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own. God sees you as his very own possession. That's not bad, is it?
Very good.
By giving you the Holy Spirit. How many of you got the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Put your hands up, everybody. Whom he promised long ago. The Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. Some people, in other versions, it says the seal. You know, in the old days, they used to use that wax, that red wax, as a seal on documents, didn't they?
Yeah.
But if you've got a seal, or it's been put on your heart kind of thing, the Holy Spirit is your guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. He will guarantee that. He guarantees that to you through the Holy Spirit who lives within you. So guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. To God be the glory, yeah?
Yeah.
So that's the first 14 verses of Ephesians. How do you feel after that?
Good.
Fantastic. See if there's anything else there. I think it's amazing. You know, we don't think of God as planning this, all this, you know, before creation. But God is all knowing, omniscient, as they say,
mm-hmm.
and all powerful.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we thank you for being the all powerful and all knowing God.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. For these verses in Ephesians. All praise to you, Lord. We thank you that we are your possession, just like they were in Ephesus. We thank you for the revival that took place in Ephesus. It stirred things up, Lord. And I know you want to see a revival like that in your land today, in this land today, in Shrewsbury, Lord. So we speak your Holy Spirit's strength, Lord. We thank you for the seal, for the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. Lord, how do we start with spreading the gospel? We want to speak the good news to people, to spread the gospel. Help us to know how we can do that in our own way, Lord, by your power and by your strength. Speak to us, reveal to us by your Holy Spirit. First of all, if we don't have a sense of how wonderful it is to have this saving grace, then I pray, Lord, for a revelation that we will have that, to know that you've saved us and to spread this good news so that others will be saved from what's to come, Lord. Let's face it, from what's to come as a result of sin. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Passover. Thank you for the blood which speaks. Thank you for your Son who you gave to us to buy us back. Thank you that you have bought us back and now we are your adopted possessions. Thank you, Lord, that it pleases you that we are your possession.
Yes.